Grace to you and peace from God our Creator and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. How many places can you have a cogent discussion on sacramental sacerdotalism with the children? Jesus became something we can eat and drink. Yes, it's fascinating. Well, welcome. I want to start by giving a quick mahalo to David Lowes, who I read some of his work on this particular text that we have for today, and was just fascinated by the way that he approached this particular text. And so I'm going to use a little bit of David's work. One of the things that he noted is that he could not remember a time when Christ the King Sunday fell on the same weekend this early as Thanksgiving. It's a weird kind of juxtaposition of Thanksgiving and the feast, the orgy that happens after Thanksgiving called Black Friday, and the end of our year, which is Christ the King. And he noted how strange it was to be caught between these two worlds of tremendous thanksgiving for all that God has given us, followed by phenomenal consumerism, followed immediately by a recognition of how Jesus becomes king in our lives. It's interesting. This particular text is traditionally read on Good Friday, and David Lowes talks a lot about how if we had read the entire encounter between Jesus and Pilate, which is 40-some-odd verses, he notes that if you set it up like a play, and I almost wanted to do this, but with the length of the day, reading the whole Passion story would have gotten exhausting. But he notes that if you set it up like a play, you would have the portico right here, which is the patio, the lanai, Pilate's lanai. And then you have in the center, Jesus. And then you have over here, Pilate's quarters, his office. And throughout the Passion story, Pilate is moving between the portico, where the Jewish leaders and the people who are accusing Jesus, the people, are standing, and his office, where he is safe and ordered. And in the middle is Jesus. So not only once or twice or three times does Pilate move between these worlds, but seven times in that reading, Pilate is walking back and forth between the portico where people are saying, you know, crucify him. This man has done all of these terrible things. He has blasphemed God. He has proclaimed himself king. We have no king but Caesar. That's what the people are saying. And then the rules, the place where Pilate is completely in control and he has total say over what will happen. Time and time again, he finds himself caught between these worlds, and he seems so indecisive and not sure exactly what he wants to do. Now compare that to Mark, same scene. Mark knows exactly what Pilate's going to do, and which is why we don't read Mark today, because he doesn't care about Jesus being a king. In Mark's version, Pilate knows what to do, and he just does it. But in John, Pilate is moving back and forth, back and forth. He's not sure what to do. As he encounters Jesus in our reading for today, he says, "Are you king of the Jews?" And Jesus, being a good rabbi, says, "You say that I'm the king of the Jews, but I am not the king of this world. My kingship comes from somewhere else." Well, we too, like Pilate, find ourselves stuck between two worlds and shuttling back and forth between them. As I thought about this text, I was struck that on Friday evening, when I was watching the news, it turned out that only one newsworthy thing happened in the entire world if you watched KHNL. Friday night, the entire newscast was devoted to shopping. Nothing in the world happened on Friday except Black Friday. I kept thinking, wow, it must have been a peaceful day. Because we looked at people going crazy on the mainland. We looked at people going crazy down at the malls here. They had reporters spread out all over the island to cover retail. Well, what does that say about us? That not only are we obsessed with the consumption of things and the idea that it's really a good thing to wait all day in line to save a few dollars on a TV, or even as one fellow did, one guy lined up 8 days before Black Friday at Best Buy. He camped for 8 days. Pastor Angela and I talked about it, and she looked at me, she says, doesn't he have a job? And if he did, you know, if he had a job that made $10 an hour, that TV that he saved $200 on cost him about $1,500. But mostly I was struck by this picture that was in the news of a family sitting at a card table, praying, holding hands and praying at table, getting ready to have Thanksgiving in front of Best Buy. While they waited in line. Now talk about being between two worlds. On the one hand, recognizing how thankful we are for everything in the world, and yet at the same time being willing to sit in line in front of Best Buy to get a, you know, $29 flat screen TV. Well, who is king of our world then? I wonder about that. Kiai Tucker, as he was talking about covering Black Friday, said, you know, I saw something different this year. He said it was the first time I had seen people in line waiting to go into a store while at the same time shopping online on their phones and on their iPads. Well, it's not that retail is bad, but it raises the question, who is king of our world? It turns out, I switched over to the national news, and I found out that there was something actually else going on in the world than shopping. 100 cars had crashed into each other in Texas on the highway. 6 people dead. The carnage was phenomenal. But that was taken over by Black Friday. There was a ceasefire in the horrible situation in the Gaza. But that didn't get covered. Our God has become, in some ways, for some of us, the accumulation of stuff. As if somehow there is an emptiness within us or a sense of unworthiness that can be filled by acquisition, by getting more stuff. Well, as I read this text, I was drawn to the fact that we are certainly between this world where we know on this side how much we are pushed and prodded and almost forced to participate in the carnage of acquisition, while at this other time knowing that we stand in the center with Jesus. We're pushed between these places. As Christian people, we know in our heart of hearts that having more stuff will not make us happier or better people, more compassionate, or frankly good looking. It won't do anything for us. And we move between those worlds. But the challenge for us on this Sunday is to proclaim who is King for us. It seems, as I thought about this text and this interchange between Jesus and Pilate and that incredible vision in Daniel, you know, what does the king look like in Daniel? It's an old man with white hair sitting on a throne with a million worshipers and 100,000 servants spewing fire. That's the image in Daniel. The image for us of who is king is different. It's not who has the most or who has the most power. It's not shaped by retail or by politics. Our vision of the king comes in a very different way. It's the cross. You see, what Pilate can't quite understand and can't quite comprehend or apprehend for himself is that this Jesus is the one who proclaims, "Look, all who believe in me believe in the truth, and I bring you the truth." And that truth is grounded in love. This King of love who dies on that cross is our true King. This is a God, a King who rules not from power or privilege, not by how many lands he controls, not by the way that he can command each one of us, but by love. And by love alone. That love that takes him on that day to Pilate's office where he will be sentenced to death. But even death will not rule over him or you. Because you see, the power of that king is to help us remember that the empty places that we have in our lives and in our souls and in our relationships will not be filled by a good deal on a laptop. That our sense of worthiness, which many of us really struggle with, am I worthy for my spouse or for my job? Am I good enough for any of that? Will not be buoyed up by another gadget. This king proclaims you worthy and beloved and sacred right now. This king who asks nothing and everything says to you time and time again, "I love you so much that I will die on the cross for you, and I will live with you. And more importantly, I will send you my spirit to be with you forever." This very God who created you from the beginning loves you still. Out of the mouths of babe, God gave himself so that we could eat and drink of him and be made worthy again and again. We move like Pilate between these worlds. And sometimes it's just difficult to resist the temptation to find in retail or alcohol or your jobs or your relationships. Sometimes it's hard to say those are not the things that bring me wholeness. But God does bring us wholeness and peace together. Not so that we can hang on to it for ourselves, but so that we can be freed up to give it away. And so you, people of Christ, who have been gathered in this place, call Jesus King, not just of your personal life, but King of all creation, out of love. And though we move between the worlds, we know that in the center is this Jesus, this Christ, this God, this Spirit, this power in the world to be transformed, that we are worthy and whole, and that we belong to God. Christ is our different kind of King, and frankly, the only kind of king that matters. Amen.
Amen.